So, I want to share just about the kingdom of God today, a treasure in the kingdom. And I'm asking God, I've been asking God to somehow help me share this that even the young ones can understand. A few weeks ago, I talked to the young people up here in the front benches, and we were talking about some treasures of the kingdom of God. Today, I'm not going to pull the young ones up here. We all can listen in because I know that, as was the other Sunday, we all need to think about, and we all have something more to learn about the treasures of the kingdom. And so today, I invite you all in. May the ears of our hearts be open today. But there are two different kingdoms. There's a kingdom of this world, and there's a kingdom of God. Two different kingdoms. And I know that in our history here as a church, there's been teaching about two kingdom theology. The kingdom of this world and the kingdom of God. And we haven't maybe talked a lot about that recently. We're going to just dig into that a little bit here this morning. But in context of remembering Jesus' death, Jesus said, take this bread, take this cup in remembrance of me. What is it that we are to remember? And then he says, as often as you take this, you proclaim my death until I come back again. What is it that we are to remember? Well, there is a kingdom of this earth, and there is a kingdom of God. The kingdom of God gives life. And not just spiritual life. The kingdom of God honors and preserves natural life. The kingdom of God, one of the treasures of the kingdom is this truth, this teaching that Jesus gave us to love our enemies. Incredible treasures in the kingdom of God. Amazing treasures. And so God's people over the years have analyzed these things and made decisions and doctrines and beliefs out of these teachings of Jesus, and hundreds of years ago, a group of men who the community called Anabaptists made decisions, and their descendants after them made decisions to very practically love their enemies. And it wasn't just the Anabaptists that made these decisions. But in my history and growing up, I continually heard the word non-resistance. And so we believed in non-resistance. And that basically meant, at least in my mind, what I gathered was we didn't go to war, we didn't kill people. There's probably more to the list, but that's the general thing. And so people have debated this thing of how do you love your enemies? How does the kingdom of God relate with the kingdom of this world? And many people have come out at many different places. And even in today's world, people have come out in many different places. And it's not just about Anabaptists versus non-Anabaptists. I find it very interesting that today in America, there's the percentage of white evangelicals that carry weapons to defend themselves. The percentage of white evangelicals that do that is higher than the percentage of those that are unaffiliated in any way with Christianity. It's just a unique thing. I find it interesting. So you take that, and today's message is not just about weapons. We're going deeper than this, but I'm just laying a little bit of a context. But a few years ago, I heard a story that really gave meat to this whole thing of loving our enemies and what does Jesus mean? How did Jesus live and how are we to live? I don't know how many of you remember John from Syria. John from Syria, he was here, I think, last year with Steve Stutzman and gave some, told some stories. But I just remember, years ago, John telling us a story about his dad, who is a pastor over, I think, in Damascus. And I probably don't have all the details correct. Some of you may remember the story better. But years ago, when things in Syria were beginning to get chaotic in the government and different places, why Christians began to be targeted. And I just remember that the city officials or military officials came to John's dad and said, "Sir," they said, "we do not have what it takes in the army or in the police force to protect your church. But we do have weapons that we can give you so you can protect yourselves." And John's dad was like, "No," he said, "that's fine. I don't need your weapons. We have a basement full of them." And the guys were like, "Oh, yeah? Yeah, come on down. I'll show you." This dear old Syrian man took these officials downstairs, and there was skids and skids of Bibles down there. He said, "We got all the weapons we need. We're fine." And John's dad can tell story after story of how that really worked out. It's pretty incredible. Pretty incredible. Today, I'm not lifting up one group's theology or doctrine over another, but we want the Jesus way today. That's what I want to talk about a little bit. What are we to remember in Jesus' death? Let's look at a few things that he talked to us about and how he walked this thing out. First of all, his teaching in Matthew 5. We're just going to read those verses. You can put that up, Ernest. Matthew 5, verse 43 to 48. This is what Jesus said. And just let the Spirit of God today, let's let the Holy Spirit just work in each of our hearts. Where are we at? And what does Jesus want to teach us? The treasures of the kingdom. Jesus said, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. That you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. This, my friends, is something about a way of life. What is the Jesus way? Well, let's walk through the crucifixion story just a little bit. And what is it that we're to remember today when we remember him? And you know, Romans 6 says that we are united with Christ in his death and in his resurrection. So let's go with Christ into his death. Let's remember him there and remember our place there. What treasures of the kingdom can we understand as we remember Christ and go with him in his death? I want to take you first to the Passover Supper. Jesus is sitting there with his disciples. He washed their feet. He taught them. He was teaching them about the kingdom of God. And then he said that one of you is going to betray me. One of you is going to betray me. And the disciples start talking about this. It's like, who is it? Who is it? Who is it? One of them motioned to John. John was leaning against Jesus. And he motioned to him, ask him who it is. Ask him who it is. So John said, Lord, who is it? Jesus said, it's the one with whom I dip the sop. Dipping the sop with somebody was an incredible proclamation of friendship. He says, it's with the man I dip the sop. And he dipped the sop with Judas, as we know. What's interesting to me in this story, there's a number of things we could talk about, and we're not going to be able to unpack it near all. What's so interesting to me is that even at that moment, it says, it talks about how the disciples didn't even hardly understand what was going on. In other words, there was so much love in the room. There was so much love in the room that they could not pinpoint what was really going to happen. And what this was about. Then Jesus and his disciples moved into the garden. And as Jesus was there in the garden, you know the story. He went aside to pray and he cried, as it were. He sweat like drops of blood ran from him as he asked his Father. He said, Lord, if it is your will, would you take this cup from me? Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. We'll somewhat come back to that, but I'm just telling these things to give us context, to help us understand the treasures of this kingdom, incredible kingdom of God. So Jesus went aside and prayed, and now we come to this part. We're going to read out of a few of the different gospels, and I just want you, say, Lord, what is it about your kingdom that you want me to know right now? John 18, verse 10 and 11. Jesus and his disciples are there in the garden. The crowd of the mob comes with their swords and their clubs. They came looking like they were ready to take down a gang. They come to Jesus. Simon Peter was having none of it. Simon Peter, having a sword, he drew it and he struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. Just think about the chaos in that little, just in that sentence. The servant's name was Malchus. Jesus said to Peter, put your sword into the sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me? Let's go to Matthew 26, verse 47 to 53. While he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him. Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. But Jesus said to him, catch this, friend, remember he had just dipped the sop with him. Why have you come? Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And suddenly one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand, drew his sword, and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. He was probably going for the head. He just managed to get the ear. But Jesus said to him, which we know was Peter, put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish with the sword. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? Let's go to Luke 22. But even as Jesus said this, a crowd approached, led by Judas, one of the 12 disciples. Judas walked over to Jesus to greet him with a kiss. But Jesus said, Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? When the other disciples saw what was about to happen, they exclaimed, Lord, should we fight? We brought the swords. One of them struck at the high priest's slave, slashing off his right ear. But Jesus said, no more of this. And he touched the man's ear and healed him. Then Jesus spoke to the leading priests, the captains of the temple guard, and the elders who had come for him. Am I some dangerous revolutionary, he asked, that you come with swords and clubs to arrest me? Why didn't you arrest me in the temple? I was there every day. But this is your moment, the time when the power of darkness reigns. Four things I want us to remember today as we're remembering Jesus' death. Four things. And we'll put them up here one at a time. Number one, remembering Jesus' death. Remembering the death of Jesus. And you can put it up, Ernest, whenever you want to. Remembering the death of Jesus is to remember that I am a son. Remembering the death of Jesus is to remember that I am a son. Now, I understand that we have male and female here today in the room. And sometimes the scripture talks about sons and daughters, and sometimes it just talks about sons. All of us, male and female, are sons of God. The inheritance between male and female in God's kingdom is no different. We are all one in Christ. Amen? I want us to remember today, as we remember Jesus' death, I want us to remember that we are sons. What does that mean to remember that I am a son? To remember that I am a son is to remember that I am no longer a victim. I'm not a victim. I am a son. I'm not a victim of my circumstances. I'm not a victim of my past. I'm not a victim of what other people say against me or do to me. I'm not a victim of my background. I'm not a victim of my personality. I'm not a victim of offenses. I don't need to take up offenses. You see, folks, I have nothing that I need to prove, because I am a son. I don't even need to try and prove to you that I'm not a victim. Sometimes we want to prove to each other that we're not victims. I don't even have to prove that I'm not a victim. I'm a son. And so are you. You know what? There is no one that can take you from him. There is no one that can take you out of his hand. Remembering the death of Jesus is to remember that I am a son. Number two, remembering the death of Jesus is to remember who is writing my story. To remember the death of Jesus is to remember who is writing my story. I take you back to the verses we just read. Jesus is there in the garden, and he's saying, Father, please take this cup from me, but not my will, thy will be done. You, Father, are writing my story. What did he say to the soldiers who came to take him? He said, you know, I could call thousands of angels down right now and clean this place out. But you see, I'm not writing my story. And thinking about the power of one angel, there in the Old Testament, it took out about 250,000 troops, one angel. The power of 12 legions, thousands of angels. Remembering the death of Jesus is to remember who is writing my story. He said here in one of the verses we read, he told the guys there, the soldiers, he said, "Why is it that you did not take me when I was in the temple with you?" But he said, "But now is your time. You didn't take me because that wasn't in the storyline right then. But now is your time." He told Pilate a little later at the trial. Pilate said, "Don't you know that I have the power to crucify you or the power to set you free?" And Jesus said, "Pilate, you have no power except that which is given you. You're not writing the story, Pilate. You think you're writing the story. You're not writing the story. You are not in control of this story. Almighty God is writing the story." Remembering the death of Jesus today, brothers and sisters, is to remember who is writing my story. When we remember that, it helps us understand the treasures of the kingdom and what Jesus has taught us. Number three, remembering the death of Jesus is to remember that I no longer need my sword. Now, our minds possibly instantly go to physical swords, physical guns. And that's a part of the picture. But I want us to go beyond that today. Remembering the death of Jesus is to remember that I no longer need my sword. Or can I say this? I no longer need fear and control. All that people want weapons for is to incite fear. I no longer need my fear and control, and neither do you. Remembering Jesus' death is remembering I no longer need my sword. But it's not just swords of metal, but fear and control. I want us to get this here today. I no longer need my sword of fear and control. It might be that look. You know, it's said sometimes that look could kill. That look that says you're stupid, you're out of line, you're dumb, you're crazy, you're no good. The look. Or it could be the word. Words of death. Cutting people up. Gossiping. Slandering. Words of death. Fear and control. Folks, today remembering the death of Jesus is to remember that I no longer need my sword. I no longer need fear and control to protect me and to keep my world safe. Let's today exchange earth's blade of metal for heaven's sword of truth. I was just thinking about this, and I've done this plenty of times. I may not have pulled a gun, but I've pulled words. I've pulled a look. Trying to get somebody else into line, making, shocking them into behaving a certain way. God says, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay," says the Lord. So let's not try and steal or grab something from God that's his. Vengeance is his. I have no business having my hands on it. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Number four. Let's read some verses before I bring out number four. Luke 23, verse 32 to 34. This is Jesus while he was there on the cross. Beautiful words of Jesus. Remembering the death of Jesus is to remember that in him. Oh, sorry, Ernest, that's all right. Put up the verses, then we'll get back to that. Luke 23. Maybe I never gave you those verses. I'm sorry if I didn't. I'll just read them here. Oh, there we go. So Jesus is there on the cross, and two others were crucified with him. There were also two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, the one on the right hand and the other on the left. Jesus said, this is the verse I wanted to get to, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." They went on, it says, and they divided his garments and cast lots. Father, forgive them. What awesome, amazing words. This is the kingdom of God. Jesus gave us a window into the treasure of the kingdom. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so, remembering Jesus' death today, remembering the death of Jesus, is to remember that in Christ, I have the power and authority to forgive, to pray for, to bless, and do good to those who do me wrong. Remembering the death of Jesus is to remember that in Christ, I have the power and authority to forgive, that means release, to pray for, giving them to God, the situation to God, to bless, that means to speak life and prospering on that person, and do good, actually get in there and help them prosper. That is the kingdom of God. And so today, remembering the death of Jesus is to remember that in Christ, in him, I have the power and authority to forgive, pray for, bless, and do good to those who do me wrong, to those who curse me, to those who betray me, to those who accuse me falsely. This is the treasure of the kingdom. And as we take the bread today and the cup, I want us to remember these things. I think that a couple of years ago, the song came out, The Jesus Way. I know the Crables sang it here a few months ago when they were here. Phil Wickham, I think, is the one who wrote it. And I just wanted to read a few of the phrases that really encapsulates what we're trying to say today. If you curse me, then I will bless you. If you hurt me, I will forgive. And if you hate me, then I will love you. I choose the Jesus way. I'm not going to read the whole song, but just a few more of the lines. If you strike me, I will embrace you. And if you chain me, I will sing his praise. And if you kill me, my home is heaven. I choose the Jesus way. I choose surrender. I choose love. I choose forgiveness. I choose grace. I choose to worship no matter what I face. Brothers and sisters, there are two kingdoms. The kingdom of this world and the kingdom of God. These kingdoms, regardless of how people have tried to mix them or separate them over the years, over the centuries, the fact still remains that these two kingdoms have two separate root systems. And out of these roots grow two separate trees. The one tree is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's that fight between good and evil. The kingdoms of this world have set up their camp. Their camp is under the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And good and evil is determined by how people determine it. What one man thinks is good, one man thinks is evil. The other man might think is opposite, and they fight it out. And we see that happening all over the world, all over our communities. The fight, the quarrel between good and evil. But there is another tree, and that is the tree of life. And you know what's amazing about that tree? The tree of life, its leaves are for the healing of the nations. It's not just about bringing peace and making everybody settle down and be quiet. It actually brings healing to the nations. Healing. Isn't that incredibly amazing? Let's park our camp under that tree, the tree of life. The leaves of that tree are for the healing of the nations.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.